Name of the Lord. It's such a joy to be here in this morning, and it's such a joy to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We believe that when two or three people are coming together, and they are coming together in the name of Jesus, Jesus has promised to us that He will be there. So we believe in this morning, through His Holy Spirit, He is present in this place. Amen. We'll like together to open the Bible to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll speak from the verse 1 to verse 5. We'll read. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as is with you, and that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both, that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the passion of Christ. Amen. We read here that Paul is asking the church in Thessalonians to pray for him. And the subject that we'll speak today, it's about prayer. Everyone speaks about prayer in these times. But all of us, we have a picture about prayer. But we like to see from the text what is writing here in the Bible that Paul is required Thessalonians about prayer. So the title of the message, I put it, The Prayers of the Church Advance the Preaching of the Gospel. Amen. All of us, we pray, and praise God that we should grow in this area of prayer. But we like today what Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians and what is the requirements that he is doing to the church in Thessalonians regarding prayer. So first of all, we see here in the text that the prayer bring freedom for preaching of the gospel. Prayers bring freedom for preaching of the gospel. The verse 1 is written, "For as for others matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spreadly and be honored just as it was with you." The prayer and the preaching of the gospel, it's a combination that coming together. And Paul, he knew that. So he's asking his church, the gospel must be preached. And your prayers will help the gospel to be preached. Brothers and sisters, there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer, and there is power when we pray for the gospel to be preached. I remember 4 years ago, I was praying, and I say, Lord, we must preach the gospel to the people here in Macedonia. And I was praying, and I was praying, and the Lord has lit my heart to engage more other people to pray for an event that it was planned to do in Skopje, and it was with one organization that called people to a restaurant and give to them a lunch. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I said, what I should do? And then the Lord has led me to engage other people in prayer and other churches. And during the prayer, I feel in my heart that we should go, and we should go a step forward, and we should believe that He will answer to the prayers. So we go to a restaurant and we say to them there that we're going to have 75 people coming here for a lunch. And many of them, they will be Muslims. And there will be a message from the Bible. And there will be someone here who share the gospel. And I remember the lady from the restaurant, she looked at me and says, what? I say, yeah, I believe that will happen. She says, listen, we make 75 plates. If you'll have 10 people, you're going to pay for all. I was looking to her and I say, okay, it's done. I go from there, I go again to pray. And then I feel in my heart, I say, God, you can do it. And I say in prayer what I should do. And God spoke to me that I should call a director of a school. So I go to this guy, I share with him the vision, the Albanian Muslim. And this guy, he invites 60 teachers. In the day of the event, there were exactly 75 people. In that moment, brothers and sisters, I understood something. Our prayers are listened. And the prayers are the way that the gospel will be advancing. And the prayers is helping preaching the gospel. Look in the Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4. As for others, matters, brothers and sisters, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And we see here, Paul is asking the church, pray for an open door. Who are the open doors? Paul coming Macedonia many years ago. And the Bible says that he found a woman called Lydia. And this woman, she came in the kingdom of God. The prayer will lead us to the right people. The prayers of the church will lead the messengers of the gospel to the right people. When we pray, God will lead to the right people. Remember Peter. Peter, he was on the roof. And God gave to him a vision. And Peter was connected by God with Cornelius. Cornelius, he was the man of peace. On the other part, he was from the Gentiles. He was totally different than Peter. And God speak to Peter. God speak to Cornelius and bring them together. So the prayers will lead us to the right people. Prayer will change the spiritual atmosphere. We saw during his mission history, there were many places. There were many places that nothing can happen. I remember 1 month ago, I was meeting with a brother that he worked for many years in Afghanistan. George is his name, George Topman. And he was sharing with me and says, like, Nick, we pray for 20, 30 years for Afghanistan. And it was a brother there called David Letterbelly. And he wrote a book, Afghanistan, My Tears. And he was saying to me, George, we pray, we pray, we pray for many years. And God has given us a harvest. And I say, I know. When you have a church in Greece with 200 people, most of them being Afghan people, that's a harvest. When you have Afghan pastors, that's a harvest. When you have Bible school for Afghan people, that's a harvest. But all this harvest, he says, it's coming after the ministry, after the many years of prayer. So the prayer will change the spiritual atmospheres. The prayer will change the spiritual atmosphere in your house, in my house, in your church, in our nation. It's always like that. When God is finding someone that will be able to pray, he will take that person, and through that person, he will bring transformation. Amen. Prayer. What will do prayer? Prayer will empower the church for preaching the gospel. And we see in the Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Amen. Prayer will empower the church for preaching the gospel. Prayer is the way that God will empower his church to be a powerful witness in the world. And may the Lord help us. Amen. Let's see from the text, and we see in the verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. What we see here in the text is that the prayer will bring protection of God upon the messenger. Peter was in prison. When Peter was in prison, the church, what they can do? They have no political connection with Herod. They have no political connection with the government. They have no financial power. They have no army. They have no army. We have nice discussion many times with our Muslim friends. And we speak many times about history sometimes. And sometimes one of the subjects is about Muhammad being in Mecca and being in Medina. And I remember a friend of mine, he said to me, in Mecca, he was very weak. But you should see him in Medina. He get a big army. And with this army, he was so strong. And I say, our church, in the book of Acts, they have no big army, but they need Peter to be free. They need Peter to be free. No big army. So what you are doing? What you are doing? And let's see here in the Acts chapter 12 with the verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church was praying. Was praying for Peter. And they were praying and they were asking, oh Lord, do a miracle. And what's happened? We know the history. The angel came to Peter. And he took Peter from prison. And he was free. You see, the prayer is bringing protection upon the messengers. When we pray for people that they are involved in the harvest. And I believe most of us here, we are involved in the harvest. Most of us here, all of us, we are workers. And I'm asking you something very practically. Engage 5 people to pray for you in a special way. Because the prayer will bring the protection upon the messenger. You be a man or a woman of prayer for people who are involved in ministry. Paul, he was an apostle. He was a preacher of the gospel. And he's requiring his church, oh church, pray for us that the Lord will protect us from the evil person. May the Lord help us. I want to be a prayer support for someone that is involved in ministry. I want to be that person that will pray, not just, oh Lord, be merciful with my brother. Oh Lord, take care of that pastor. Oh Lord, take care of that missionary. Oh Lord, bless George. I don't know, is someone there? Bless him, be with him. No. Oh Lord, I want to stop today. And I'm asking you, protect. I'm asking you, may your mercy, may your protection to be upon my brother. May your protection to be upon my sister. Deliver if there are people that they're going to make wicked plan. They will make plans against them, against your church. Oh Lord, change this. In your mighty name we ask you, Lord. Amen. Faithfulness of God is our security, which encourages us to pray. You see in the verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. When we know that our Lord is faithful, you know what is this? This is a big encouragement for us to be zealous in prayer. This is something that will encourage me and will encourage you to pray. You know why? Because the Lord is faithful. And you're going to ask something according to his will. He will intervene. He will work. God will work. Faithfulness is the character of God. Faithfulness is on his character. He's almighty and he's working. I remember a story. It was a man in mission. And he was there sharing the gospel. And he met a friend. And this guy, he says, where you are living? And this missionary says, I'm living there. And this guy, he was 20 people to kill the missionary, to finish with him. And it was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then back home in his church, it was someone in his church that he says, I have a feeling in my heart that I should pray for our missionary being there. So he engaged immediately through the phone, through everything, engaged 20 people. And these people come together and they say, we pray for our mission. We don't know what's going on, but we pray. And they pray for him. The second day, this friend come to the missionary. And he said to him like this, I was coming yesterday to kill you, but I saw around you there were 20 people full of guns. And this man, he was looking, he says, who are these people? I don't know. What's happening there, brothers and sisters? It was the protection of God upon them. It was the protection of God upon our brother. It was the protection of God. You see, because the prayers are powerful. Many times, we cannot do a lot of things, but we can pray. 3 years ago, I was in Bulgaria. I was in a conference with George Otis. George Otis is one of the guys that he was going in Fiji, in Uganda, and he was seeing the revivals that were taking places there. And George Otis, he was giving us an example. They say that with always, when this transformation come, it always come with the appetite and with a strong desire for prayer. And in all the cases, there were a group of people which they were praying. Which they were praying, they were intercessory prayer. They were standing before God and they were saying to God, we don't give up until you're not working. We don't give up until this situation will change. Prayers will bring the protection of God upon the messengers. We have many examples, and we can give maybe hundreds of examples, and you have many examples. But we know we can be happy in this day and speaking about a great testimonies. But I want in this day myself to be transformed by what I'm hearing here. And I want myself to make a commitment that I'm going to pray for the people which are involved in the preaching of the gospel. I want myself to be a supporter in prayer for someone. And in the same time, I want to engage people in the same time like Paul. Paul, he's engaging the church in Thessalonians, saying, hey, pray. Pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil people. You know, sometimes we saw Paul. Who were the one of the biggest enemies that Paul he had when preaching the gospel? It was the Jews. The Jews were some of the people that fight the most against Paul. Of course, we have cases and we see in the book of Acts that the Gentiles, many people from the pagan world, but many times the Jews, the one that keep the law, they were against Paul so much. And Paul, he's asking, may the Lord deliver us. The last point what we have here is that the prayer will bring in our hearts the power of doing God's will. And we see here in the verses 4 and 5, we have confidences that the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Prayer is a form of perseverance in faith. Prayer will bring in our hearts His will. We see here Paul asking the Thessalonians, asking now from the Lord, asking and praying that the Lord will direct their hearts into God's love. Prayer is something that will change us. You know, someone says one time, it's like, do you believe that God is listening to prayers? Of course He's listening to prayers. But do you believe that God needs your prayers? Of course He needs my prayers. You know why? Because the prayer, when we pray, it's a sign of, we worship actually, praying to the Lord. We are worshiping, we are declaring that we are depending by Him. But in the same time, the Bible says that we are created by God to worship Him. So when we are praying, it's in our ADNA, it's in our heart. When I was born again, I received this character of being a prayer, a worshiper. When Jesus, He was in our world, He's the best example of prayer. And we saw Jesus, that the prayer, it was the communion with God. But I was saying, do you believe God? The prayers change God? No, the prayers will change me to accept His will. God wants to do something, and He wants to do something great. And He's looking for people that will obey His will. You see, in the book of Isaiah, who shall I send? Who shall I send? He was looking for someone to send. And he said, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Who is here able to receive my heart? The prayer is the way that I'm receiving God's heart. I saw in my life many times, and I say, Lord, I don't know where I should go. I don't know what I should do, but I know something. You have the answers. So always the prayer, it was the way that God is revealing to us His love, His plans, and His visions. And may the Lord help us. Romans 8:26, this will help us very, very much. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Wow. Have you ever recognized before the Lord that you don't know how to pray in different situations? I had in my life situation that I was saying, I don't know what to say. 6 years ago, it was a situation that I was going to a funerary. I was not married. I had no children. It was a family. They lost one child of 2.5 years in the month of February. And then they lose the second child just after 6 months. Second boy. And then I go there in a mission trip, and the pastor comes to me and says, hey, you should share something with this family to the funerals. I say, I'm not married. I have no children. I don't know what I should share. So I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I say, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm here. What I should say? And the Lord has directed me my steps in the Lord. I'll tell you something. One of the biggest problems that we have many times in prayer, you know what it is? Is that many times we believe that we know. We believe that we know. Yes, I know how to pray. I know how to pray to be saved. Because I know examples. I pray myself, I get saved. But praying and engaging myself in a spiritual warfare that will lead the ministry of preaching the gospel to be high and to bring that freedom in the atmosphere. It's something else that many times I must confess to you that I stop and I say, Lord, what I should do? How I should pray? And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is coming and is teaching us. Wow. God Almighty, He is teaching me how I should pray. Wow, that's amazing. Brothers and sisters, few advices, very practical. Start the day with prayer. Start your day, the first part of the day. Stay in the presence of God. Second, be specific time of, set aside on your agenda prayer time. I met many people sometimes saying like, I'm working on my laptop, but I'm praying always. I'm doing this, but I'm praying during this time also. I'm gonna drive my car and I'm gonna pray. I believe these kind of things. I'm praying driving the car. But that's not the only time I pray. You see? I pray driving the car, but that's not the only time I pray. We see Jesus putting aside time of prayer. He pushed the people out. He pushed His disciple out. And He go to be alone with God. To be alone with God. Because when you are alone with God, when you are in the time of prayer, God will show to you His heart. And you will be in power. Amen. Corporate prayer with the others. Brothers and sisters, we should be free in our spirits to pray also with the others. We should feel freedom to pray also with the others and to have this desire to go in places where people are praying. Because you know something, when you are praying by yourself, that's so beautiful and God, it's empower you. When you pray with the others, that's a different level of prayer. That's a different atmosphere. And God, it's also empower you through that, you know? So we have also need this. The best way of learning about prayer is practicing. It's practicing. Praying, it's amazing. Pray for the preaching of the gospel. Paul is asking here that the prayers of the believers will bring that freedom, and the gospel will be honored, and the gospel will be preached, and people will come in his kingdom. I'm asking myself, and we ask each of us, ourselves, something from the Lord. And what I would like to ask the Lord today, and you can ask also, make my heart hunger for prayer. You know something? We must recognize. When I recognize, Lord, I'm here. I want to be a powerful prayer man, because you can use me in this way. Lord, I'm praying that your gospel to be preached everywhere. When we do this, the Lord will use us in a mighty way. And I pray this for my life, and I pray this also for you. Ask the Lord today. Lord, touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. We must be dependent by God. And in our prayers, the preaching of the gospel and the messages of God should be a priority. Many times, you know, we pray, oh Lord, help me here, help me there, help me there, help me there. It's like God is 911. Oh, I'm getting in troubles. Help me there. Oh, I'm helping draw. I need that. Help me there. This should not be. Of course, the Bible is teaching us to bring our needs in prayer. But the Bible doesn't say just the prayer is just for this. This is a section of prayer. Yes, God will fulfill your needs. God will bless your life. But there are more. There are more in prayer that we should bring. And I'm praying today that this message to help us, shape us. God has called us to be. And may the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless you. And may this message to be with us all the week. And may the Lord help us also to practice. May God bless you. Thank you.